A bear hazed and wounded in Dyea last month was shot and killed over the weekend, and this year's state fair exceeded expectations. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. The brown bear that was wounded during a hazing event in Dyea last month was put out of its misery over the weekend, 2 weeks after it was shot by a Skagway police officer. On Saturday, a National Park Service ranger shot the bear that had evaded authorities for 2 weeks. The bear was seriously injured during an attempt to scare it away from campers by a Skagway police officer on July 16th. The officer intended to use a non-lethal rubber bullet, but accidentally loaded a lethal slug and shot the bear in the rump. The wounded animal dove into the Tyea River and disappeared. It hadn't been seen until this weekend. Following the hazing event, the Skagway Interagency Bear Management Group, made up of representatives from the Skagway Police Department, the Park Service, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, evaluated the situation and determined to dispatch the bear if it still demonstrated evidence of suffering. Skagway Police Chief Ray Leggett apologized last week on behalf of the department for the accident. He told KHNS that he was taking steps to prevent such a mishap from happening again. Leggett said the officer had only been on the job for a month at that point and had yet to complete hazing training. According to a Park Service release, on Saturday morning, a resident contacted the park ranger and reported observing an injured bear near a fishing slough on the Dyea mudflats. The release stated that the ranger observed that the bear was unable to use one of its hind legs and was not afraid of people. After those observations, the ranger shot and killed the bear. The Park Service and Police Department processed the bear as a defense of life or property take. After it was shot, they discovered the bear suffered from a broken femur and a dislocated hip as a result of the hazing incident. The hide and skull will be turned over to Fish and Game, as is required by state law. The clouds parted and the rain held off over the weekend for the 48th annual Southeast Alaska State Fair. Top-notch music, rides, exhibits, contests, and of course, the food exceeded organizers' expectations. The official theme of this year's fair was Spirit of Southeast, but perhaps it should have been something like Exceeding Expectations. Just when you think the huge event in Haines can't get any better, it does. This weekend saw hundreds and hundreds of people taking in all the sights and sounds and food over 4 days. Let's start with the music. Bands and solo acts from all over Southeast and beyond took to multiple stages, keeping crowds dancing and singing along. One of the most anticipated musical acts was actually made up of four brand new bands. After a week of furious songwriting, lessons, and rehearsals, the young women of Girls Rock Camp fame took center stage on Saturday, and they took the crowd by storm. The four bands, called the Shadow Drifters, the 907 Rockers, Last Minute, and Fear the Fluff Stars, were made up of mostly rookie rockers. All the songs were original works, and for the most part, the girls got to pick their own instruments at the beginning of the week.
Hello, we are the 907 Rockers.
Haines guitarist Nora Prisciandero was in the band Last Minute. The group's song was called Overcome.
Well, it was about, like, how you get up on your bad days that you have.
She says she already had some experience with the guitar and wants to continue the path to becoming a righteous axe master. The best part of the week-long camp was making new friends, she says, and writing a song from scratch. Skagway's Abigail Tidlow Trunnell was the bassist and singer for Fear the Fluff Stars. The Fluff Stars sang a little ditty called Somewhere about an eagle taking flight. She says writing the song was challenging, but she's already looking forward to next year. Director and Rock Camp founder Monica Lentner says the week and the final performances went better than expected. So good, in fact, she's hoping to double the number of participants next year from 20 to 40. Lentner told the crowd on Saturday afternoon that the girls learned to overcome fears, develop friendships, and become empowered to, well, to rock out.
We talk about how to support each other and to not buy into the stereotype and the rumor that girls have to be mean to each other or catty with each other. We learn how to support. We learn how to celebrate each other's strengths. And all of these smiles and their beautiful works of art just prove it.
She says the highlight for her was seeing the progress throughout the week.
Having campers that were really, really scared on the first day come through on the end and absolutely love their instrument, love their teacher, and love their performance and their band. I mean, that to me is the biggest success, is when they're positive and they're feeling confident about it. It doesn't matter what I think, it matters what they think when they walk off that stage.
This year's more established musical acts were an eclectic mix of rock, country, reggae, you name it, really. Speaking of fair sounds, kids laughing, crying, and squealing with delight could be heard wherever you chose to roam. The Ferris wheel, as always, was a big hit with the little ones.
It wasn't scary to me because I've been on it before.
Oh, you have?
That's why it's not scary.
That's Zev Levine, just after a ride on the big wheel with his grandmother. Past the carousel, the train stop, and the line of carnival games. Was the barn. Mud and Charlie, two young yet huge pigs, were enjoying the attention on Friday.
These are just, you know, homegrown backyard pigs.
That's their owner, Christy Wright. She says everybody needs some pigs. But if left up to Robin and Sierra Oaks, everybody needs some baby rabbits, though the pigs were okay too. Here's Sierra.
Do you know the pigs right over there?
Yeah, I saw them.
The pigs are like weird, like they're like
For many, the music and happy kids, rides, and animals are great. But what really gets people excited is the plethora of once a year fair food.
Tony? One card!
Hi. Can I interest you in a rockfish taco or a tasty salmon taco?
Yes.
Judith McDermid has been to 22 state fairs in Haines.
Fair food, I mean cotton candy and kettle corn, and you know, I mean it's once a year, yes. So good.
Now it's Monday and the crowds are gone. Things are getting back to normal around Haines.
It's the day after the fair.
That's fair director Jessica Edwards.
It went great. The weather held out, which we were all really surprised about, and people had a great time, I think. The music was wonderful. The programs were great. The contests were well attended and well participated, and yeah, we had a great fair.
Edwards says she learns something new every year. She says highlight for her this year was getting to spend part of Saturday afternoon riding the train and playing games with her daughter. A couple of glitches with the Ferris wheel and the carousel were the biggest hiccups, she says. There were a couple of parents that got briefly separated from their children, but staff and volunteers jumped into action and reunited them quickly.
And, you know, in response to that, we've been starting to already talk about protocols for letting people know if you're separated from someone what to do. And I think we can be really proactive about that in the future. So.
And while the bands are gone and the Ferris wheel disassembled, Edwards says the work is far from over.
Certainly in September, we'll be able to relax a little bit, but there is an enormous amount of wrap-up and so many people to thank. The amount of effort put into this event by volunteers is truly, truly incredible. And you just get done with this event and you feel so grateful for all the energy and the creativity and the just life that people pour into the fair. And it's pretty inspiring.
In case you want to plan for next year, the 2017 Southeast Alaska State Fair is tentatively scheduled for July 27th through the 30th. For photos from the fair, go to khns.org or find us on Facebook. He may just be the Yukon version of Johnny Appleseed. A farmer in a remote area near Dawson City has spent 3 decades growing fruit that will survive a northern winter. He's harvested 75 varieties of apple trees, and now he's selling them to northerners who've always wanted an apple tree in their yard. The CBC's Cheryl Kawaja reports on the growing business.
John Leonard lives off-grid in the Yukon's Klondike. He's been here for the last 30 years. In that time, he's experimented with growing fruit, finding the varieties to withstand the cold and the right conditions for them to thrive. His gardens and greenhouses are filled with a wide selection of produce, but apples are his passion. Leonard is a pioneer, developing new techniques to grow crops in the north and sharing them. Now his apple trees dot yards across the territory.
Because now that we've got types of apples that work up here, we're trying to get them out to people. We're raising them and introducing them to people in the territory, along with methods of how to do it.
And with a growing interest in northern food security, Leonard's influence, like his trees, is spreading far beyond his farm. Cheryl Kawaja, CBC News, near Dawson City.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can always listen to or read local news stories on our website at khns.org.